Turn to Ephesians 6, verse 12. Ephesians 6, verse 12. Chapter 6. And we're going to read verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Number one thing you better get a revelation of is that your warfare and your problems are not people. People are not my problem. People are never going to be my problem, really. Now, people can be a problem. But what I'm telling you is that if you have spiritual eyes of understanding enlightened, you will begin to realize the people that are giving you trouble, there's a reason they're giving you trouble. There's a reason they are causing you problems. Because there is something behind the scenes working through that person or those people. There's something making those people your problem. There really is a real demons. They're real devils. And they are your problem. So if you've got lawsuits or you've got this or you've got that, most of the time, you got somebody just really just being nasty to you, somebody trying to run you off the road, somebody cussing you out, somebody angry at you at work. Have you ever just had things just happen and you think, wow, why did that person say that? Why did that person do that? What's wrong with them? A lot of times the people don't even realize what's going on. They just know they're mad and they're just angry or they're just, you know, they don't like you or whatever. So we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. This will help us if we just come to grips with this right here. From here on out, let's make a decree in our hearts, we're not going to fight with people anymore. We're not going to fight with people anymore. We're going to take the fight to the real arena. We're going to take the fight where it needs to be taken. We're going to stop fighting people. Let's make a decree in our hearts today, I'm not fighting against people anymore. I'm not going to be mad at you anymore. I'm not going to cuss at you no more. I'm not going to be angry at you no more. I'm going to come against what's really working in this situation. Stop fighting people. Amen. Number one thing, stop fighting people. Because the devil wants you to engage in warfare with people. That's what he's doing all this stuff for. Because he wants you mad at people. He wants you upset with people. He wants you tore up. He wants you frustrated. He wants you tormented. Stop fighting people. Just stop it. Jesus said, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Do you know it's impossible to love somebody when you think they're the problem? But if you will see this verse for the truth that is in it, that we don't wrestle against people. We wrestle against these different levels of spirit beings. There's four levels of demonic powers. There's principalities. Let's look at verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. This means tongues. Praying in the Spirit. Praying in tongues. When you're praying in tongues, it is your spirit that is praying. Do you know that? It is your spirit that prayeth. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men or flesh and blood, but unto God. Howbeit in the spirit, he speaks divine secrets. You're speaking and praying in out of your human spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit praying for you. It is you praying. People got to wait on the Holy Spirit to show up and start talking through them, and they are so missing. That's wrong. That's wrong doctrine. It is your human spirit. You are the one that is supposed to engage in praying in the spirit. It's your prayer language he gave you. He inspires you, but it is you that prays in the spirit. You need to get baptized in the Holy Ghost so you can begin your prayer walk and talk with God. Praying in the spirit. That is a powerful part of your armor. Putting on the whole armor is not just saying, I'm going to be victorious today. I'm going to defeat the devil today. And you know, I'm going to put on the boots and I'm going to put on the breastplate. That is not what this is all about. There's instructions here to go by, but this is a daily way of life. We live this every day. Now, that baby is still a baby, and she's not fully geared up for life yet. It's a growing process. Being equipped to deal with the enemy in life is a growing process. Verse 18, I'm going to read that again. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying always means you pray always. You keep your mind and your heart in tune with God every single minute of every single day. How can I do that in work? How can I do that? Because you are a spirit. You possess a soul and you live in a body. Your spirit never slumbers. Your spirit never sleeps. Your spirit's awake 100% of the time. Because the spirit don't need to sleep. You have a mind of the spirit who knows the things of God. That's not the organ in your brain either. The mind I'm talking about is the mind of the spirit. Your human spirit has a mind. Your brain is your just an organ, a mass of cells and blood and nerves that is the central nervous system, like a computer that controls the organs, the involuntary things, and the voluntary things in your body. It is not the mind I'm talking about. There is a mind of the human spirit that can think and can be educated. And that's where you have to be awake at all times to the things of the spirit realm. Spirit, your human mind, your human spiritual mind. Human beings are spirits. Do you know everybody's a spirit? Everybody is a spirit. Everybody. The saved are spirits and the unsaved are spirits. They are still spirits. There is nobody that is not a human spirit. Everybody has a human spirit. Now, the saved human spirits are going to be ready to go when Jesus comes, and they're going to heaven and live forever with Jesus because we've been born again of the Spirit of God. But the unsaved or the unregenerated spirits, people that are, they're going to go forever somewhere else. And they're going to be tormented forever there. But they're still going to live forever somewhere because they are spirits. It is so important that we understand that our warfare is not in the bodies of other people and our own bodies. Our warfare is in the spirit. We war against spirits. And we war against other human spirits. I'd rather deal with a demonic demon, a spirit demon, than a human demon, a human spirit. Sometimes I can take authority over, I have authority and power over demon spirits, but I don't have authority and power over human spirits. You get a human spirit angry with you, especially somebody practicing witchcraft. You got some warfare, real warfare going on. And you better know how to deal with them. Astral projection and all that mess in the occult is real. It's real. They use demons to help them do stuff. They do out-of-body travel and all kinds of crazy stuff. And we just walk around thinking everything's okay. Things are not okay. We are living in a very spiritual world. This world is very, very supernatural. The supernatural is all around us. There's things around us that we do not see. But just because we don't see them in our natural eyesight does not mean they're not real. I can't see the sun right now. I can't see radiation, but I know it's a real, real thing. I don't care if it's a big old cloud. At nighttime, y'all doubt that there's a sun out there somewhere? It's because it's night. The sun is real. I'm telling you, this is real. There is a real devil. And this is a spiritual world we live in. There is a spirit realm all around us. And it is urgent that we understand that we are on the earth with a mission. And thank God we're not alone. We are not alone. So this morning, I'm just going to do the best job that I can with the help of the Holy Spirit to bring some things to light. Because one thing I know about the devil, he's like a cockroach. He likes to hide. And when the lights go out at night, I don't know if you've ever had roaches or not, but you don't ever see a roach during the daytime, do you? But you turn out the lights and man, they come out and they're everywhere. Turn on the lights, they fly everywhere. And they're hard to get rid of too. That's the way the devil is. He's like a cockroach. He will not come out if you expose him. He'll run for cover. He will hide. He does not want anybody to know he's there. He don't even want you to know he's there, but he is. In fact, I wouldn't doubt that just, you know, every single person gets born again. We all have demons. We all have demons. Everybody has demons. Do you know why I know everybody has demons? Because before you were born again, you had demons. Before you got born again, you had a ruling demon spirit. Every single one of us had a ruling demon spirit. It was probably the first spirit that came into your life as a child. That's usually when demons come into children. And especially if you were in an unsaved home, demons usually follow families. Demons follow families and demons follow locations. They're very territorial. They like to stay in a pack. Remember the cockroaches? And they like to breed. They like to multiply. They don't actually breed, but they like company. So if you have one demon that's come in as a child, maybe a spirit of rejection because of the way your parents treated you or whatever. Anger comes in with that. All kinds of, those demons literally have groupings. There's groupings, and I won't go into them, but they're in here. You can read it. And you can absolutely see how they like to congregate together. So whenever you got born again, I promise you, you had demons. You had a ruling demon, and then you had demons that they had with them because they like company, and they kind of keep groupings. They have groupings. Now, a lying spirit is pretty easy to detect. If you have a problem with lying, like I did when I got born again, I had a lying devil. It was so common in me, it was a part of me. But it was because I had a lying demon. And it did not want to leave. Now, there's two ways to get rid of devils. Kenneth Hagin taught me this years ago. There's two ways to get rid of demons that are in your life. Number one way is on your knees and in the Word and cast them out yourself and resist the devil and he will flee from you. If you notice that you got a problem with lying, then what you need to do is recognize this is of the devil. This is probably a demon and you need to resist that demon. And you do it by the Word of God and you do it on your knees and you take authority and you resist the opportunity to lie. You resist telling a lie. That's how you do it. And that's how you do all of them. When you recognize the situation, that it is demonic in nature, then you learn that this is something God is not pleased with, because for one thing, all liars will go to hell. That kind of was a big influence to me. That was an incentive for me to stop lying. Because for one thing, thou shalt not lie is one of the big 10. And law liars will have their part in the lake of hell. But God, I lied about everything. I have a problem here. Well, I have a demon that had influenced my life because it was part of that grouping thing. So I had to learn how to resist the tendency, the desire to lie. It's just easier to lie than tell the truth. But let me tell you, the Bible says that the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. In fact, the Bible says, Jesus says he is the father of lies. Your father, before you were born again, was the devil. And he was a liar from the beginning. He has no truth in him at all. The devil is a liar. Therefore, you were serving a liar. A liar was your God. And you didn't maybe know that, but it's still the truth. It's a revelation coming at you this morning. The devil was a liar. He is a liar. And if you lie, you're in association with his way of doing things. God says, come out from among them. Separate yourself. Be ye holy, for I am holy. God is a holy God. And God is a God of truth. God is a God of love. And if you want God to be your God, you're going to have to learn how to be an imitator of God as dear children. Jesus said, come out from among them. Be ye separate. Or was it Paul said that? It was the Holy Ghost said it. Holy Ghost said it. So now my Father, I've traded gods. No longer is the God of this world my God. I've been born again, and I've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness, and I've been put into the kingdom of light, where there's light. Light is on everything. Now the roaches are really running. Now the roaches in your life are really running. Now the demons are really hiding. And you've got to learn how to resist them things. Because you've got to be a part. You are a very active part of cleaning up your life. It talks about the regeneration of the washing of the word. The word will cleanse you. The word will give you revelation of where you're dirty. You need to clean it up. And God says, come out from among them, right? Don't be a partaker of their unlawful things. Now, God, the God I serve, Almighty God, is truth. God is truth. I believe this with all my heart, that once you come out from among them, the devil's way of life, and the devil and the demons serving the devil, and you now are a Christian, born again, your eyes have been enlightened, you know God is real, and you know God is God, and you're calling upon the name of Jehovah, Almighty God, you know him as God, Elohim. God, Elohim, is Almighty God. All that, and most people just know him as God. Even the sinner knows him as Elohim, but very few know him as Adonai. Adonai is when you're entering in to a revelation of lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. Amen. When he is Adonai, then you have said, I'm going to present my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is my reasonable service. Now, can you just all of a sudden stop lying? Can you all of a sudden stop being jealous? Can you all of a sudden stop being angry? Can you all of a sudden just stop doing all the things that you used to do as a sinner when you serve the devil? No. It's a process. You got to learn how to resist the devil. Now, there's some demons, there's principalities, power, spiritual wickedness in high places, the rulers of the darkness of this world. There's different levels of demons. And I believe there's different levels of demons in people's lives. In fact, Jesus said, this kind cometh out not by prayer and fasting. If you've never tried fasting, sometimes that's what you got to do to get rid of the devil. Sometimes you got to fast. I just fasted this week to get rid of a devil. And I'm going to tell you something about fasting. It's easy. It's easy when you do it with determination of the outcome. When you know that at the end of the day, the victory is yours. It's easy to fast then. It's easy. It's easy. But now we know that God is God, Elohim. And we know that God is truth. Let's all just say truth. Truth. I mean truth. Oh God, I want the truth. Who wants to walk around with a lie all the time? Who wants to walk around with liars? You can't trust a liar. A liar will lie to you. You can't trust nothing they say. They're liars. And you don't want to be that way. But it takes time to get rid of that. Because you've been doing it for so long, it's part of your, it's kind of a habit. It becomes a habit to lie. It's like we've got to renew our minds. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you can prove what is that good and perfect acceptable will of God. You see, the Word of God says we got to prove what is good, what is perfect, and what is acceptable. You know, if you don't know anything, like I didn't know anything, I had to get in the Word of God and start proving some things. And God has a lot of grace for babies. I'll tell you what, I'm drinking beer and I'm witnessing to people about Jesus. Beer was a part of my life. I drank all the time. I smoked pot every day. Now I knew pot wasn't so good, but the beer, I didn't understand that problem. I didn't think there was a problem with that. And one day I'm witness to somebody. I mean, I'm born again, I'm not filled the Holy Ghost yet, but I'm witnessing to somebody. And now I built my house with beer. Beer was in my refrigerator when I was a child. I grew up, my parents had beer in the refrigerator. It was just as in there as common as milk was. It was a part of our culture. Beer was. Some people look at me like, what? Yeah, it was. I didn't think I had wrong to drink it as long as I didn't get drunk. It was about getting drunk, right? To me, it was all about getting drunk, being out of control. But I'd gotten such a tolerance to alcohol at age of 22 that I could drink 3 beers and hardly even feel it. Seriously. But back in those days, we had low beer and high beer. Had low power beer and high beer. 3-2 beer and higher beer. Two different kinds of beer. So anyway, I'm witnessing, I'm drinking this beer, and this guy said, you know, I don't know if you ought to be witnessing about Jesus like that and drinking that beer. And I was thinking, well, it's like I didn't get it. I didn't get it. So God has a lot of grace for babies, is what I'm trying to say. God has a lot of grace for baby Christians. It's the older Christians who know better than to lie. It's the older Christians who know better than to steal. It's the older ones who know better than to manipulate. It's the older ones that have been on the way who know better or are still doing that mess. Something wrong with that picture. We ought to come out by now. You've been saved a year or two. It's time to get clean up your act. Because God ain't, you're getting ready to go out of here. You ain't going. If you still got sin in your heart, you ain't going to heaven. Let me tell you, Jesus is coming soon. And if we don't clean up ourselves, there will be no way you're coming into the kingdom of God. No way. Because you would corrupt heaven. You would bring your old filthiness into heaven, and God would say, no way. There's no way sin is going to enter into the kingdom of God. The devil was kicked out because of sin. You think God's going to allow you to come in? You think you're bigger than Satan? Satan got kicked out. He got booted out of heaven. He was one of the highest archangels in heaven. And he was cast down with 1/3 of the angels were cast down with him. So don't think for 1 second that if you haven't cleaned it up by now and you've been serving the Lord a while, you are going into the kingdom of God because you're not making it. Forget it. It will keep lead on your feet. When I'm going up, I'm going to be seeing you down there with the lead hanging on to you. Sin is like lead. It's filthiness. Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. Now, what is holy? That's the opposite of unholy. Holiness. Holiness. You know, in the kingdom of God, in Revelations, if you read Revelations, it says that the water pots, the horses' bridles, are going to have inscribed in all around, everywhere. Our decorations are going to be holiness unto the Lord. Holiness is going to be on every water pot. It's going to be inscribed on the walls of the temples. I mean, we're going to walk around. God's got a holy people. He wants a holy people. And there's a reason for that, because God cannot fellowship with sin. Can two walk together? Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? We got to learn. You're a human spirit, and you're responsible for that human spirit. What you agree with. You got to learn to come out from among the ungodly things of this world and start agreeing with what God says. I cannot agree with the devil and agree with God. Jesus said, either you're lukewarm, or if you're hot or you're cold, and if you're lukewarm, he's going to spew you out of his mouth. Glory. Am I preaching good this morning? So lying, let's go back to the lying thing, because this seems to be the most common thing baby Christians deal with, and even older Christians. You know, I catch myself all the time thinking, the old nature's always there, you know. The old man, the old man's been crucified in Christ, but it's like he's always kind of wanting to raise his ugly head and take dominion over my spirit, my human spirit. Like there's two of me. And there's a war in the flesh. We don't, you know, the carnal man is, the carnal mind is enmity against God, the Bible says. So we're not warring with flesh and blood, per se, in the demonic things around us. But we will always war with our human flesh, our old nature, the old man. The new man has been renewed in Christ. We've been become alive to be found in him. Be found in him. I was praying the other night, and I was praying in the spirit a couple weeks ago, and I heard, actually it was Friday night before that. I heard the Holy Spirit, and I saw the scripture, be found in him. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness which is of God in Christ Jesus. That's the kind of righteousness we're to be found in. Get in that kind of righteousness. You know, not that I'm so good, but it's He's the one that's good. He's the one that's perfect. He's the one that's right. And Jesus is His Word. In the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was with God. The more Word you can get into your human spirit and get an agreement with your mind, the more the devil has no room to work in your life. That's a truth. More Word, less devil. More revelation, less devil revelation. You don't want, you know, there's just these two worlds in conflict. There is the forces of darkness, there is the forces of the enemy, and there is the forces of light, revelation of the kingdom of God. Jesus told the disciples, He said, the kingdom of heaven is within you. It's within you. The kingdom of heaven is within me? How in the world can the whole kingdom of heaven be within me? It's in you to the degree you allow it to be in you. The devil was a liar. He is the father of lies. He's the father of everybody that's not saved. Everybody. So just be just have an understanding that everybody that's not born again, their nature is to lie because their father is a liar. Okay? But now you and I are born again. Now our father is a truther. I have a truther for our God. My God never, ever, ever lies. My God never, ever, ever, ever. It's impossible for my God to lie. My Father is a truther. He's a truth God. He never lies. He's 100% the truth all the time. And that's good news. That I can count on Him to never, ever, ever, ever lead me the wrong way, never lie to me, ever. So I think that it's like, okay, that's where we start. That's where we start. We come to revelation that God is the truth. God is love. My God is love. That means the devil is hate. The nature of the devil is hatred. God's nature is love. I'm talking agape love. It's unconditional love. It's a love beyond, if you've never experienced it, it's like a love that there's no comparing it to any kind of human love. There's nothing like it. It is the love that kept Jesus on the cross. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. That's the kind of love God has. He gave. God is so generous. This love is so generous. God's love is a giving love. It's an overabundant generosity type of love. It's a love that just makes you want to give everything you got. God is so full of generosity and so full of love that God is absolutely absolutely off the chart in generosity. God is a giver. God is an abundant giving God. He's a wonderful God. He's not stingy. He ain't stingy. And let me tell you, He owns the universes are in His back pocket. God owns everything. He has so much gold, they don't need asphalt in heaven. They pave the streets with gold. They've got so much abundance of oil and riches and jewels and diamonds. They put them on the walls of their cities. When you get to heaven, you're going to be amazed at the mansion Jesus has prepared for you, because they've got so many diamonds and so many jewels that they probably are foundations in your home when you get there. I'm telling you, we think God is stingy. I'm telling you, my God is an abundant God. Jesus said, I have come that you can have life and have it more abundantly. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it wasn't true, I'd tell you. But He said, I'm telling you the truth. I'm going away, but I'm going to go away and come bring you back to myself, that where I am, you can be also. He wants you with Him more than you want to be with Him. He is coming back for you, the blood-bought child of God. He's coming soon, and He's just getting us ready for our new home. He's getting us cleaned up. He's cleaning all of us up. He's cleaning me up. There will be no liars in heaven. Let me make this real clear. There will be no liars in heaven. If you haven't gotten victory over that lying spirit, if you have not conquered that one, you need to do it. Kick him in the butt. Say, out of here, I ain't lying no more. Mm-hmm. Now, don't you think he won't try to get you in a lie? Mm-hmm. Do you know what the devil uses to get you to do what he wants you to do? fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. That's the greatest force of the devil, is fear. Fear is always the part the devil uses to get you to do his business. Fear. Fear of not having enough money. Fear of not having being liked. Fear of not having company. Fear of not having friends. Fear of not being accepted. Fear of, you could just put a list of fear on all, just about every human feeling and emotion. Fear of being lonely. Fear of being rejected. Fear, fear, fear. The greatest thing God ever taught me was that fear is an enemy to the child of God. Fear is my enemy. If I am feeling fear, and I'm experiencing fear, that means I'm not made perfect in something called agape. I do not have a revelation of the love of God yet. God is a God of love. He that feareth is not made perfect in agape. We got to work on that. Start working on agape. Love. Perfect love casts out all fear. Fear motivates us to do a lot of things we shouldn't do because it's a force of the enemy. He uses fear. Fear tactics. It's like guerrilla warfare. He will come to you and he always speaks to us in first person. He will inject a thought in your mind and you will think, I'm giving you some insight here to how the devil works. He will come to your mind in a flash of a second and he'll whisper a thought in your mind and he will say, if you don't do this and this, they're not going to like you. Yeah. Now, little kids, if you don't do this, I'm not going to be your friend.
Yeah.
And there's that fear. You're going to lose a friend. You know, always a loss. There's always lack. Loss. A loss of a friend. Lack, lack, lack. The devil's kingdom, the devil wants you to think you're going to be poor your whole life. God sees you as rich. God sees you as having more than enough. He's a God of abundance. So, fear of lack, fear of whatever, is always of the devil. Faith is always of God. Faith works by agape. If you've been made perfect in agape, then you can operate in perfect faith in every situation. The key and the goal is to get agape so strong in your revelation of God that you can always walk in agape faith. Faith is worked by agape. If you have fear, it cancels the faith.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
It cancels it out.
You have faith and if you're fearing.
You can't faith if you can't do both.
That's right.
You can't walk in faith and fear at the same time. You can't do it. Either you're walking in faith or you're walking in fear. Now, the fear will make you lie. The fear will make you steal. The fear will make you cheat. The fear will make you do a lot of manipulation of other people. Mm-hmm. Fear always, it's just bad. Fear is of the devil. I used to hear this all the time, and I'd say it over and over. I still say it. Peace is of Jesus. Fear is of Satan. Peace is of Jesus. Fear is of Satan. If he that fears, you're not made perfect in love. Man, I love preaching this message this morning. I love preaching this message. I've lived this. I have a revelation of this. And once you have a revelation, you're responsible for it. Once you have a revelation of, you are responsible to live it. So when I feel fear coming at me over any situation, I don't care what it is. Oh, you ain't going to be able to pay your electric bill this week. You ain't going to be able to pay your water bill. You ain't going to be able to do this. And I feel this fear coming at me. You know what I do? Ha, 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 ha. Yes, I am, devil. I'm going to pay all my bills because my God supplies all my riches and glory according to his word, according to Christ Jesus. And I laugh in the devil's face because, you see, my warfare is spiritual. My life is spiritual now. I am a spirit being. I possess a soul and I live in a body. I belong to Almighty God. He is Almighty God to me. Now, you move from him being Elohim, God, and you move into him being Adonai, which is Lord. But the greatest revelation you need to get into is when you see him as El Shaddai. When God becomes El Shaddai, he is the God that is more than enough to meet any need you'll ever have. In fact, you can't max him out. You cannot need him. There's not enough need in your life you'll ever have that he can't meet it. don't care if someone says you owe $1 million. That ain't nothing to God. That ain't nothing to God. Because he is Almighty God. He is great. How great is our God? God is great. But you cannot access any of that greatness until you know him as Elohim, Adonai, and then El Shaddai. You'll never know him as El Shaddai until you make him Adonai, your Lord. And to make him your Lord means you want to clean up your act because you want to please him. Can two walk together except they be in agreement? God can't fellowship with filthiness. God can't fellowship with pornography. God can't fellowship with liars. God can't fellowship with fornicators. God can't fellowship with wickedness. He cannot do it. So don't come to God asking him for anything as El Shaddai when you have not made him Adonai yet.
Yeah.
Boom.
Come on.
That's some preaching. It's the truth.
Hello.
And you walk in at 24/7. You don't just come in and out once in a while when you need him.
Hello.
You live for him 24/7. You've sold out for Jesus. You've made him the Lord of your life. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he's coming back for me. And I wake up every day ready. I go through the day ready. I'm booted up and I'm suited up. I'm armored up and I'm ready. I know who I am in Christ. He's my King and I love him with all my heart. Glory. There ain't nobody like him. There ain't nobody like my King. There ain't nobody like my God. He is the Almighty God who parted the Red Sea, and he can part my Red Sea easy enough. There's no problem too big for God.
Hallelujah.
I've learned how to come boldly to the throne of grace to receive. I know how to receive from God because he's not only Elohim to me. He's not only Adonai to me. He is El Shaddai. And he's been my El Shaddai for many, many, many years. Because I didn't have nobody else. I didn't have a bank account to run to. I didn't have a rich mommy and daddy to run to. I didn't have anybody. When my mother and my father forsook me, the Lord took me up. And I'm so thankful that he did.
Yeah.
He's the one I've run to for 34 years. And I've never seen him turn me away. He said, anyone that would come to me, I will in no wise cast you out.
Come on.
He is my God. He's my healer. He's my restorer of my soul. He is my Prince of Peace. He is my God. Hallelujah. You don't think God would bend heaven and earth to get to me? Somebody who believes in him. He sees your heart. He knows when you're believing in him. I've learned how to pull on God's heart. I've learned how to claim his mercy in my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have 2 pages almost of notes here. Let's get to them. John 10:10. I typed these out real quick this morning. John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill, and to destroy. If you're serving the devil in any area of your life, if you're still lying, if you're still stealing, if you're still cheating, if you're still manipulating, you're using the work of the devil to get your life where you want it. John 10:10. Because the devil comes to steal, and he comes to kill, and he comes to destroy. He's out to steal everything you got. He's out to destroy everything about your family. He's out to take away your kids. He's not about giving you anything. That's his nature, is to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And Jesus said, I am come that they might have life. Now that life right there is Zoe. In the Greek, it's translated Zoe, meaning eternity. An eternal nature is given to us. We have an eternal nature, the God nature within us. Now that eternal nature, whether you know it or not, has abundance programmed inside it. The nature of God has an abundant programmed nature. Because when you see God, you start understanding he never has shortages. There is never a shortage in God. He has abundance. That's why I love serving God. Well, I know what my bank account says has nothing to do with my circumstances. Nothing. Nothing at all. Because he's an abundant God. Jesus, read it. But did he not say that? Did Jesus tend to say, I have come that you can have life and have it abundantly? So if you've got the nature of God in you, you have abundance programmed into you. He came in with abundance, an abundant nature, abundant supply, abundance. I want you to see this. This is empowerment here. He came to give you Zoe and Zoe abundantly. I'm talking Zoe abundantly. What is a Zoe abundant life? What is eternal life abundantly? That means you have access to everything he has. You have access to anything and everything God has. Total. Totally. But he can't trust a liar with it all. He can't trust a thief with it. You know, he kicked the devil out. He ain't gonna let us come into heaven and access the things of the kingdom. Glory to God. Let's look at, let's go to Luke 10:19. Luke 10:19. You need to be marking these scriptures. Jesus told his disciples, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Y'all believe Jesus tells the truth? And if you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, you have power over the enemy. You have power, but you have authority over the devil. Jesus said, behold, I am he that was dead, but now I'm alive, and I have the keys of death, hell, and the grave. I give unto you power to tread. Most Christians never, ever, ever come to the place where they can walk in that authority because of sin consciousness. I'm going to tell you real quickly here, and I'm not going to go in very deep on this, but as long as you're sinning, you have something called sin consciousness that will continually plague you. Now, the greatest thing you can do for yourself as a Christian is get rid of sin in your life. Because you can get rid of sin consciousness when you do that. Being conscious of your sin will keep you from being empowered by God. Now, I'm telling you, if I was running around still lying, I wouldn't feel like I had much clout with God. Would you? If I was still using the tactics I used to use to get my way in life, do you think I'd feel like I had much clout with the heavens, with heavenly things and God? Because that power works in a clean vessel. It empowers you. Sin consciousness will take away your authority as a believer. It really does. You have no right to go to God and ask for anything if you're still sinning. If you're a Christian and you're still, think about it. If you're a Christian, you're still operating in sin in your life. What makes you think you can go to God and God is going to empower you against the devil? Because you're working with the devil. You ain't got no power over something you're still enjoying and entertaining. You can't take authority over the devil. Jesus said you got to first bind the strong man and then you can spoil his house. But then that makes you got to be stronger than the strong man, right?
Amen.
Luke 10:18. Jesus said, and behold, this is the verse right before that. He said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Jesus saw the devil fall out of heaven. I think you ought to know that. I want to show you something else here. Luke 4:7. Luke 4:7. Jesus was taken into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Luke 4:7 says, let me get there quickly. I'm trying to cover a lot of information quickly. Let's start with verse 6. Luke 4:6. Luke 4:6 says, and the devil said unto him, this is one of the three temptations. The devil said unto him, all this power, he takes him up into the temple and he shows him all the kingdom of the world. Okay, let's go back up to verse 5. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. This is important to get a revelation of. Because everybody thinks they're a god. Do you know that? Let me explain what I'm talking about. Before people get born again, they basically think they're like Adam. Adam was created in the image of God and the likeness of God. Okay? And he was given dominion. So God made Adam with the ability to be a god. The nature to be a god. God made him like himself. God is God. Almighty God. And he gave the man all these attributes and the nature to be able to rule and to reign and have dominion. Now what Satan did in the demonic realm was that he really took the ascendancy over mankind. Okay? And in doing that, he didn't build a kingdom. He didn't build one big mansion, one big place, and make every human being come and bow down to him and homage to him in the natural. We've never seen, after Adam lost his place in the garden, we didn't see the devil gather all the human beings and make him come and worship at his feet on a throne, did we? And don't see it anywhere, do you? Because he has a spiritual kingdom. Satan has a spiritual dark realm of a kingdom. And he has subjects. One third of the demons are his subjects. And they are very well organized army. Very well organized army. Now, let me tell you something about the devil. Go back. When he was cast, Jesus said, I saw Satan come down like lightning, fall to the earth like lightning out of heaven. Because, and in fact, if you remember, the scripture said, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for the devil is coming to you with great wrath. What do you think he's got all this wrath? What do you think he's got all this anger and rage? Because he's been judged. You see, the devil knows that there is an eternity of the lake of fire waiting on him. Remember when Jesus saw the Gadarene? And he said, why have you come to torment us before the time? He knows there's a time coming that he has going to be bound and put into a lake of fire for eternity. He knows that's what God has, he's been judged. But now we know that he's not there yet. But it says that he walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfastly in the faith. For the devil knows that he has a short time. There's a time factor in the demonic things in this world. I'm trying to help you see this. So here we are. Let's go back to Adam. Adam was created to have dominion. He was given the like, made in the image of God and the likeness of God. Mankind, all human beings are pretty much alike. You think you're so different than me? Not really. You think you're so different than anybody else? Not really. We're all pretty much the same. If I had been in the garden, I would have done the same thing that Eve did. If you'd been in the garden, you would have done the same thing that Adam did. We're not really that different. We all come from the same mold, okay? So from the time that baby is born, time you were born from the baby, you know what you wanted to do? You wanted to have a kingdom. You wanted to be boss. You wanted to rule the roost. You ever see kids? Nothing worse than seeing a kid who runs the home. You wanted to have dominion. You wanted to be in control. Rebellion is a part of being in control. That's what the devil did. He rebelled out in heaven, didn't he? He wanted to kick God off his throne, and he rebelled and led a rebellion, and he wanted to take dominion over God's throne. Every human being, that's part of having the nature of somebody who wants to rule and reign. Nothing wrong with that in the sense that if you're doing it in a legal, legitimate way, in God's way, there's two kingdoms, remember? Two kingdoms. Kingdom of darkness deals with death, deals with sickness, disease, fear. Fear is the power that works in that dark realm of kingdom to kingdom. We have to understand there are two ways to run a kingdom. There's two ways to have a dominion. There's two ways to run things. Either you run it under the kingdoms of darkness through fear, manipulation, fear tactics, guerrilla warfare, like the roaches in the dark, manipulation, witchcraft, craftiness, cunningness, all the things that are of that kingdom operate under a different power. But if you get into the God, the kingdom of God, it's operated by love. Love and faith, peace, joy, abundance. Adam and every descendant from there on had programmed within them the program of a king, the program of a ruler, a leader. Everybody wants to rule their own lives. Everybody wants to be their own God. If you walk around, most people are their own little gods. And everybody is building their own little kingdom. They don't even know there's a real devil. They don't know there's real hell. Most sinners just know they want to be in control of their lives. You ain't gonna tell me what to do. I ain't gonna tell me what to do. And they get out and they work really hard. All you have to do is just drive down the road in America and see it. Anywhere, anywhere in the world. It's all about building their home, putting up their fence, putting up their gate, putting up their signs, no trespassing. This is my dominion. This is my kingdom. This is where I live. This is what I own. And you can't touch it. You can't have it. It's mine. Everybody's a little god to themselves. That's what I'm talking about. Most all human beings are programmed that way because we were created in the image and likeness of God. Now that's just the way we are. But when you come into the kingdom of God, and the devil's fine with people living like that, because most of them operating under his dominion anyway and don't even know it. But when you come into the kingdom of light, you've still got that same desire to be your own God, to be in control and do it your way. But God says, don't do what the devil did. Don't commit the sin of the devil of rebellion. Learn how to submit under God's kingdom. Learn how to submit under God's rule. Learn how to do it God's way. And believe me, you got to reprogram the way you think. You got to start thinking like God thinks, doing like God, and make him your God. When God becomes your God, that's just the first step, like I said earlier. The next step is learn how to make him your Lord. When he becomes your Lord, that means he now is your ruler. You're not your own God anymore. You have surrendered your godship. You've surrendered your life to the real God. And you want him to be in control of your life. You want him to be under. You want to be under his lordship. You want him to lead and guide you. He wants you to be his ruler. You want him to be your ruler. That's why Jesus said, come, leave everything and come and follow me. That's why he says, that no man's forsaken fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers, and lands for my sake, that you won't receive 100-fold in this life, 100-fold, and in the everlasting life, eternal life. That's when you sell out for Jesus. That's when he really becomes your Lord and your Savior. That's when he becomes your King. And he says, then he will let you rule and reign in life through him. He will teach you how to be in control through him. People have a hard time with pastors in churches. People don't know how to submit to the authority of an under shepherd in a church. But they say, oh, God told me to do this or God told me to do that. Uh-uh. God ain't going to have you come into a man or woman's church and say, God told me to do this when they didn't make you the pastor. God didn't make you the pastor. He made the pastor the pastor. There's leadership. There's things that you have to learn to submit unto. God is not the author of confusion. There's order in God's house. There's the order in God's place. Now, a lot of times it's people's human spirit that is raising up and saying, God wants me to do this when it's really you wanting to do it. People don't understand that they really want to be God. Learn how to submit to authority is a big, big part of learning how to enjoy the things of the kingdom of God. Submit to authority. I come into a church, I learn how to submit to that man or woman of God. And God said, when you come into a house, take the last seat. And when they come and bid you to sit up front, that's the greatest thing. I learned how to submit to authority. Glory to God. Can I go ahead and give you a few more of these scriptures? I'll try not to get into all of them in detail. Colossians 1:13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Colossians 1:13. Thank God I've been delivered from the powers of darkness. You know, all sickness and all disease come from the power of darkness. All sickness and all disease comes from the power of darkness. The powers of darkness. Sickness and disease did not come from God. Sickness and disease comes from the devil, came from sin. When sin entered into the world, sickness came in, the pestilence, diseases. But we've been delivered from the power of darkness. And we've been translated into the kingdom of God's Son. Now let's look at, I won't go into all this because there's so much more. Glory to God. 1 John 4:18. I've already quoted this scripture today.
John?
1 John. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Tell you what, I hate fear. I get real red when I think about fear coming at me. I feel a holy anger raised up in me. And you know it's okay to get angry when it's against the things of the devil? I feel a holy anger when I start feeling fear about something. Because that is not of God. Fear is not of Satan. I mean, fear is not of God. Fear is of Satan. I refuse to give the devil an inch in my life. If I give him place with fear, I'm giving him place, period. I don't want to give the devil no place. Now, I'm not talking about fear of a snake or fear of a spider. I don't like spiders. I respect them. There's a difference in having respect for the devil, having respect for things that can hurt you, than being absolutely terrified of them. Running away in fear. There's a difference. Fear is like the mouse that sees the boa constrictor and it just kind of paralyzes it. Fear is paralyzing. Fear makes you run. Fear makes you, it's a tormenting thing. Fear hath torment. It stops you in your tracks. God can say, I want you to do this. This is your assignment. And the devil can come along with fear and say, well, if you do that, this is going to happen. And all of a sudden, you stop in your tracks. And God has given you an assignment, and you will not fulfill the assignment of God because the fear is greater than your faith. You have more respect for the fear than you have the Word of God. That's a fact. That you can prove that good and perfect, acceptable God. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your way you think and the way you perceive and the way you see life has everything to do with whether you'll be obedient to God. Because you will never prove the good will of God. You'll never prove the perfect will of God. Because fear will keep you from walking into the best that God has for you. You'll never press into it. Paul says, those things I look behind, I forget those things which are behind me. And I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. You know what the high calling, your high calling is? Is to prove the Word of God is true. Prove that what He said is true about sickness and disease. Prove. You prove it. You prove it for you. You get downright determined. I'm going to see if this is true. I'm going to prove that God says by His stripes I was healed. I'm going to prove that I can walk upon scorpions and serpents and nothing shall by any means hurt me. I want to prove that, God. I don't want it just to be a scripture that I read. I want to prove it. Yes. I want to experience this awesome power that you've given me. The devil says, oh, no, no, no. We listen to the liar rather than we listen to the truther. Mm-hmm. You do that, whom you'll serve. If Baal be Baal, serve Baal. If God be God, serve God. Here's a man who wasn't even filled with the Holy Ghost called fire out of heaven. Let's call some fire out of heaven. I want to call some fire out of heaven. I think I felt some fire out of heaven this morning. Oh. Can I tell you a little something before I close? Let me see if I get any more here. Revelation 12:7. Revelations, the last book in the last book in the New Testament. Revelations. Revelations. And there was war in heaven. Revelations, it's chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Was war in heaven. 12, verse 7. Revelation 12, verse 7. Okay. 7. And there was war in heaven. Can you imagine? War in heaven? A place that's perfect? War in heaven. Do you know Jesus wants to establish heaven in you? And he doesn't want you to be in warfare with the devil like there was warfare in heaven. He wants you to put the devil where he belongs in your life, under your feet. That's what God did with the devil. He kicked him out. You got to kick him out. You cannot have pigs in your parlor. You cannot live with demons in your life. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. He will flee from you. Two ways I started to tell you to get rid of demons. Either you got to cast them out yourself through resisting him and the word and prayer, or you get and fasting, or you have somebody lay hands on you and cast them out. They can be cast out either way. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. That means the devil has subjects. A third of the angels. Good news, I heard a preacher say not long ago, good news is one third of heaven fell. That means there's two thirds still on our side. They are so outnumbered. They are so outnumbered. And God is still God. John 8:34. St. John chapter 8:34.